This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864 Seasons.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Joining us now, and I checked to make sure, someone who has not scrubbed Bill's references from his Twitter bio. I call it Twitter. Twitter bio. Sal Capaccio with us now on the Wester Hotline.
Sal, doesn't that seem kind of like a thing that guys get around to doing when it starts to get really adversarial with their team? It just seems a bit preemptive by Cook, unless the Bills have already smacked him around or something and told him we're not doing what you want, we talked this through earlier on our show. It'd be very early in the going for that to have happened already. I know anything can happen, and it probably is meaningless, but largely it often is. I was kind of surprised to see we already escalated to I'm scrubbing social media.
Yeah, as you guys know, I've tried for many years and not read much into those kinds of behaviors because it's just a different world that, you know, people of a different generation live in than I grew up in or that you do. But we also know we have to pay attention to it, right? It's a weird line to walk for someone like me, which is, I'm the reporter. I have to pay attention to that, and it could mean something. At the same time, sometimes it means nothing. I remember a couple of years ago when Stefan Diggs had done that, and then someone pointed out to me, well, he actually does that every year because he's into fashion and everything, and he just kind of
changes
it up. His page, right?
Right.
So, okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's just something that, but in this case, I do think there's a trail of breadcrumbs to lead you to believe that there's something being said with all these actions, right? And whether he's tweeting it specifically and putting the 100 emojis above someone who says, obviously he's worth, you know, $15 million a year, or him pinning the Instagram Live comment, or now, you know, him scrubbing it. I also think he's in a unique spot here because it seems like his brother is someone that he has been kind of an advocate for him in his ear and kind of been really, I'm not going to say pushing this, but he's been at the forefront of it, right? And now, and this is a guy that played in the league. He went through his own contract situations, and he said what he said after the AFC Championship game, tweeted about 20 mil. Now here's James doing what he does. I wonder how much of this is maybe not even him. I'm not saying he's not posting it, Or, hey, this is the advice he's getting, I guess you'd say. You know
right,
I mean?
Like somebody's suggesting, do these things. These are some things you can yes. do to sort of like push the yes. conversation forward, get it rolling.
Yes.
How would you...
That's exactly what I think, by the way.
Okay. Tough question to answer for any of us. Yeah. I don't know how much I would appreciate you asking me this question. How aware of any of this do you think the Bills are? And, I don't know, are they... Maybe like you, like I got to pay attention to it because it's part of my job, but maybe it doesn't mean anything. Like, I don't know. Like Cook already drawing a line in the sand seems like to me it wouldn't go over great with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Like, can we just calm down here? Why are we already at like wherever we're at here? Like DEFCON 1. Maybe 1 is too strong. Why are we at DEFCON 3 already? Like, you know, it's only a couple weeks after the season ended.
Yeah, it's interesting because. First of all, to answer the first part, how aware? Extremely. I would say this. Let's remember, the reason why the Bills were able to trade for Stephon Diggs is because he initially tweeted, time for a change, and someone in the Bills organization said, hey, look at that tweet from that guy in Minnesota, right?
okay,
we, right. You know what I mean? Like, yep. they're on top of Good these point. Things. Like, this is their own player. Like, they know what's going on. There's literally someone in charge in that building, someone in charge of looking at all of this stuff for other teams, let alone their own. They're very aware. They understand it. They know the questions are coming. We're going to talk to Brandon Bean in a little over a week. We'll be at the Combine. He's going to speak on Tuesday, the 25th at 2 p.m. I'm quite sure this very thing is going to come up very, very quickly, if not the first question out of the gate to Brandon Bean. He's going to be prepped on it. He's going to understand what's going on. Now, that being said, it's also different of... the Stephon Diggs example I just gave, because the Bills have control here, right? Like, yep, they're aware, and I'm sure I agree, and I agree with you, Bulldog. Like, I'm sure they don't love it. There's no doubt. They also know that it's part of the business here sometimes right. that things like this kind of happen sometimes. So, you know, my thought is they've been at this long enough where Brandon Bean's probably not in some sort of panic mode somewhere. He might not like that it's happening, but he also isn't going to suddenly disrupt his own process of what he had planned on how to go about this.
Yeah, I think, just again, it's the move or a move that a player can make. Mike Jannetty of SpotTrac yesterday made a point, Sal, that Cook is kind of in his own tier right now for timing for running backs. A lot of older guys got paid last year. There are younger ones, and he stands out as somebody who's due some sort of a raise or an extension, and that just adds to the logic that just, you know, I'm getting it out there. I'm pushing this, and it might not – he and the Bills might have a laugh about it. Like, I think to say yeah. that they're not phased is easily correct, probably. So, you know, Cook is in an interesting spot. He's got some leverage, and ultimately, what is he worth? I bet the Bills think he's quite valuable, but I think $15 million a year is crazy. So they come in between, and everybody's happy in the end.
Yeah, that's probably some sort of likely outcome in some way, shape, or form. And I say likely for me because it's just not something the Bills have ever been in business of under Brandon Bean, which is getting it to a point where it becomes super contentious.
Yeah,
they've been so good at, you know, heading things these kinds of things off. The only one we have an example of is Jordan Poyer, who missed some OTAs. And then the year that Jordan Poyer's contract expired, they basically said, go see what else is out there. And that was a bit of, you know, I mean, I know he didn't love that, but he went out and he saw what was out there and didn't like it and came back to the Bills. Really, we haven't had much else in the line of these contracts. They don't like these kinds of things to get to that point. So I don't think in this case that they're going to let it get there, but I don't know exactly know how, you know, you resolve it either. So we'll see. I find it also fascinating, like, what have the conversations been like? I did hear you guys ask a little while ago. You could talk to agents all the time. You just can't execute the actual extension right. until the new league year begins after your third year, so going into your fourth. So then they could do something like that. They could even agree on it now if they want or whatever. But I do wonder what those conversations have been like. And is James Cook doing this because he's received word of, hey, we're not going to pay you that? But if that's the case, what is he doing? He's not marketing himself to other teams. He's not a free agent, right? I mean, the Bills still have control. So he could just be shouting it from the rooftop just so everybody knows. That's fine. Or is he just doing it because he knows, hey, it's my turn to get paid, and I just want to let everybody know what I'm worth. And, you know, guess what? We're going to try and make this work, and this is what I want.
Right. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The state of the tight end position up at WGR550.com. This is one position where I think I'm just, like, not thinking about it at all. That Knox is still here. It's McDermott's comments after the season that you pointed out to me after I was sort of wondering if there might be a change there. Probably not. Kincaid and his health, or maybe better put, strength at the end of the season became a topic. And as you mentioned in on Twitter, at least, if not in the article, the Bills reportedly are making a change at their strength and conditioning coach position, Eric Ciano, who's been there for more than a decade. So maybe these two topics are connected here, Sal, the tight ends and this news today.
I think it could be. I don't know exactly the reason for the reported change. It has not been confirmed to me or by the Bills specifically, but Ryan O'Halloran is reporting it from the Buffalo News that they're moving on from Eric Ciano. And my speculation is, I think, okay, why? They actually were one of the healthier teams in the league.
Yeah.
Really, for the most of Sean McDermott's time here, they have been. They're, last year and the year before, they were a little bit not in as much in that regard, as you guys know. So what else could it be? And I think about the comment that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott made about Kincaid and play strength. And is that something? Maybe there wasn't the right kind of plan. He also was dealing with some injuries this year, and maybe there's something there. You think about what they said about Keon Coleman and coming back from his injury. He wasn't the same player. He wasn't as physical enough. Is there something there? I'm just trying to tie in any specifics that could lead to that, because I do think those kinds of things matter when you're talking about how detail-oriented an organization is, especially Sean McDermott is, especially in an area like this.
Dwayne Carter was another guy that came up during the week as we're talking about, you know, fortifying the defensive line and the draft and all this. And there's a third-round pick who I thought was starting to show some promise. You know, one of the games I really noticed him in, I think, was the Houston game, which was, I know, a loss, but still, I thought he was starting to break through and maybe earn a little more playing time. Then he got hurt and was never really heard from again, even though he returned to practice. Like, he didn't dress for the championship game. So, yeah, maybe there's a thing there about guys getting healthier but not getting back to being able to perform at the level they were before they got hurt.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll find out again if we when we meet with Sean and Brandon both at the Combine in a week and a half or so to see if there's anything more on this. But in the meantime, look, they really like Dalton Kincaid. I think it goes without saying. I do think that, obviously, the comments matter, play strength, and, you know, getting him a little stronger, be able to withstand the rigors of the position. That's also going to help in his blocking. But he's a guy going into his third year. And typically, in this regime, a lot of times that jump is made from year two to year three with a lot of guys. You can go down the list where many of that's happened for in the past. He did not have the kind of production last year I think a lot of people anticipated, me included. He was part of this everybody eats mentality. I also think that if you're going to have a tight end as talented as him and drafted him in the first round, maybe you should scheme things up a little bit more to highlight him a little bit. Maybe that's part of it. So I think there's got to be a lot there. As far as Dawson Knox is concerned, there is one question, and that is his contract. And he is going to count $14-plus million on the cap this year, guys. That's seventh most in the NFL. And anybody who looks from the outside in is going to say, okay, come on, like that is a lot for Dawson Knox. And that, I'm not here to argue that point, but it would be very cost prohibitive to move on from him. They also very much love him, as I pointed out their comments at the end of the year. Like, this was the guy that they were highlighting. Like, we need guys like this. He was a big part of what we do here in this organization. So the only way you can really maneuver that number to me after I look at his contract is maybe if you give him an extension and you push some of that money down the road. Because otherwise, unless he takes a straight up pay cut, it's tough to do. And he's going to be on the hook here for, you know, 14 and I think even at more than that next year. So that's the only question with Knox. And maybe they are willing to just play like that because Kincaid is on a rookie deal. And if they look at it as a position as a whole, then you're like, okay, well, it's really not that much if you divide up the two numbers or add them up between the two guys we're using.
I think maybe the most puzzling thing about Kincaid this year was the number of times Allen missed him. And it was different than maybe any other Bills player. I don't see, in my mind's eye, I don't see Allen missing Coleman. I see Coleman just not catching the ball. Like, he's not open or something. But you know, several times here, Kincaid was open and the pass was just not there. And I don't think Allen needs to be absolved of blame for everything, but, you know, that's kind of weird. So, you know, his season high in yards was 53. In two seasons, 34 games, he has five touchdowns. I believe you when you say you think there's every reason to think the Bills are, like, high on him still. What can they do about this? You know, like, in your opinion, what would you say? Usage or, like, does he need to play more than 55% of snaps to get to a point where it's not that it has to justify the pick, but that he can become an impact player, which he really hasn't been?
Yeah, I think obviously part of the snaps is he missed time this year. I mean, the reason why his snaps were down is because he wasn't healthy enough to play full games or even missing games. When he was even dressed in some games, I don't think they wanted to use him quite as much as they probably initially planned. And that's where I'll say, I think that's why they fall back on Dawson Knox and say, like, I think they feel fortunate they had Dawson Knox this year. Now, he only had 22 catches, again, for a second straight year, which is odd. Two straight years of exactly 22 catches. That's not a lot. But I think that they felt comfortable having him on the field, and that's where you get those comments from. And as far as Kincaid and, you know, getting more usage, I think that's got to come down to some of Joe Brady. Again, I'm going to go back to, you drafted him in the first round. Now, part of it was they're going to play a lot of 12 personnel. They're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. That was with Ken Dorsey. It didn't really materialize. Part of that was Dawson's injury, his, you know, in 2023. Then you get to this year, and it's everybody eats. It's kind of a change in philosophy. But if you really believe you have this player on your team that can be the kind of matchup that you envisioned him to be when you drafted him in the first round, I think you have to create ways to be able to get him the ball in those matchups. And if that goes a little bit against where everybody eats because he's the guy eating the most, then I think so be it. But I do think that that's got to be a part of it. And then, you know, for him, sure, I'm going to take what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott said and say, you know, that's probably true, that maybe he has to be a little bigger and stronger. And maybe when he's on the field, guys, teams don't respect him as a blocker because he doesn't have the playing strength. And they say, hey, if he can be a respectable blocker, I'm not saying he's bad at it, but get better at it. And teams know that when he's on the field, we can do either. That really allows us to get more mismatches.
Yeah. Sal, what about the rest of the position? Obviously, Knox and Kincaid are the headliners. But, you know, Quentin Morris has had a pretty entrenched role. And then beyond that, like, what else is in the pipeline here, you know, outside of what could happen in free agency or the draft?
Yeah, so Quentin Morris is actually going to be a restricted free agent. So that's a bit of a tough one when you talk about restricted free agents, because the only way to retain his rights are to offer him the minimum qualifying tender, which in his case, they would, I'm sure, be a right of first refusal. They're not going to use a first or second round tender on him. Well, that's still going to be projected over $3 million this year. Are the Bills willing to pay Quentin Morris $3 million? I mean, look, they did pay Saran Neal a lot of money to be a core special teamer, and he is the second highest snap usage guy in special teams, and typically he's right up there. So would I totally dismiss it? No. But I still think that's pretty pricey. So my guess is they either, before that has to run its course, they both agree, let's just not do that. Let's just bring you back on another 1 or 2 year deal at a lesser price. That's fine. Or they don't do it. Excuse me. He goes to unrestricted free agency. He sees what's out there. Is there a team that gives him another, a bigger role with more money, or does he come back to the Bills? So that's what's got to play there. Zach Davidson, we all saw the hands. He's a phenomenal athlete. He does not have the body to be an inline blocking tight end. He is really just a Dalton Kincaid kind of backup replacement if something happens, or even Dawson Knox. Obviously, Dawson, a better blocker. But, you know, that's really what he is in the practice squad, and that's probably where he remains this year. But he'll fight for a spot. He doesn't really offer any special teams value if you have to use him there. That's why Quentin Morris is ahead of him on the depth chart, but he did re-sign. He'll come back and fight for a spot. And then they do have a young man they sign who is a dual-threat quarterback in college named Armani Rogers. I don't know if you guys remember this guy. He was a 2022 undrafted free agent by the Washington Commanders, and he transitions to tight end in the NFL. And he actually played a little bit, and then I think there was an injury or something, and he was out. They went on his way, and he was with both the Eagles and Falcons, I looked, last year in their practice squad. Never saw any time, and the Bills signed him to come to camp as a tight end, but He was, where did he play? I think it was UNLV, maybe. I have to look this back up again. But he was a really good, like, dual threat tight end. Quarterback in college. And now he's a tight end.
Armani Rogers. Vegas is right.
Yep.
All right, Sal, offensive line is next.
Yeah, and real quick, guys, it'll be easy. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sal. He's Sam Rogers' son. He was born in Buffalo.
Right, I did read that.
Oh, that's great. I did not know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I saw a reference to that at some point within the last couple of weeks, and then like, oh, that's interesting. The Bills have a guy that's, you know, Sam Rogers' kid on the team.
Big Sam Rogers fan here.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
You know what? He grew up in L.A., so he didn't go to high school here. But, yeah, he was born in 1997 in Buffalo, New York. I like that. NFL Sam Rogers. I remember Sam Rogers. Good call there. Thank you for that. I'll include that now, and maybe I'll even edit the article to include that. So, real quick, offensive line. Typically, the longest article I write every year on my State of the Bills is offensive line because, A, there's just a lot of guys, and, B, there's several who have contractual situations we have to kind of look at. That's not happening this year. This will be one of the shorter articles I've ever written on offensive line, maybe the shortest ever, because, yes, there are a lot of names, and I'll go through them, but, guys, everybody's under contract except for Will Clapp, who's a veteran guard, and Tommy Doyle, whose future is up in the air because he hasn't played in 2 years. That's it.
I think he retired.
Everybody else is under contract.
I think Doyle retired.
He did not. There was a report.
Sorry.
There was a
there
report.
All right.
Erroneous report.
Thank you, Sam. So, sorry to throw that on you. Like, I know what's going on with Tommy Doyle. What do you know?
No, it's okay. I don't want to call anybody out specifically.
Okay,
I will. It was on ESPN Classic.
I just wish people would be a little bit more thoughtful and thorough. I mean, this is a young man's career. And I will tell you specifically that I know that Tommy Doyle has not retired.
Okay.
Now, that does not mean that he won't retire or that he isn't pondering his future, but I can safely tell you here that that has not happened yet. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 starters, then how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other guys, 12 total players under contract right now, 2 who are unrestricted free agents, Clapp and Doyle.
Okay. Thank you, Sal. We'll not talk again for a while, so have a great trip, a great break, and hopefully your partner on Saturday in the 9th annual February Fixed Draft comes through for you.
Thank you. You have a great break as well. Have a great trip. I know you're going to be away. The next time I talk to you guys, I'll be in Indianapolis, and it's literally going to be on the fly. Sean McDermott speaking to the media on Monday the 24th, so we'll carry that, and then I'll join you guys right after that. I'm really going to get off. We're going on a cruise. I'll get off the boat in Fort Lauderdale and literally fly to Indianapolis for the combine, so it'll be a whirlwind. And as far as the draft is concerned, we are debating. We have the number one pick, and my buddy Chris did text me, and he made a suggestion, and I said, I don't know if I like that. Let's go this way. So maybe there are a couple surprises.
Okay. We'll find out. I'll be appearing on the WGR morning show, Jeremy and Joe, I believe it's called, tomorrow to preview this draft.
I love it.
All right, safe travels, man. Thanks for this, Sal.
You got it, guys. Thank you. Have a great weekend and week.
That's our dude. You're on vacation. Sal's on vacation. I'm just going. No Sal, no you. What the hell? What am I supposed to do in here?
Not even Trapasso.
Who schedules it? Yeah, right. Trapasso's going away. I'm just. Yeah, we'll
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen.
Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Figure it out. Sales appearance brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You could bring back that motorcycle show for the week.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Bikes. The only, well, not the only worse idea. A worse idea would be if I did that.
Kickstands up.
Random WGR weekend shows over the years. Draft. Kickstands up. It's good. I've done a 3-round mock draft for Saturday's
of course
February fixed draft.
Yeah.
And I'd be very surprised if I got the 101 wrong. Sal has the 101. But he's saying here, you know, it's right? It's that time of year where people throw
smoke screen season. Yeah. Right.
I'd be very surprised if I had the 101 wrong. What would you do? Superflex, tight end premium next year. Who's the 101?
I'm not prepared to take this question. I have no idea. I've not thought for 1 second about who's any good in the league anymore.
Allen is the 101.
Okay, great.
Isn't he? Usually?
Sure. That sounds great.
Doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
They sound like they're debating.
Yeah. I mean, if I were in this draft, I would have an answer because I would look at, or yes. Maybe not by today. When's the draft? Saturday?
Saturday morning.
Okay, so I've got like 6 a.m. Saturday. I could look at, okay, well, that's what I'll do. So I wouldn't be any more ready if I were in the draft, but I'm definitely not ready now.
Okay. Well, I believe you. I'm convinced.
Good. I thought I did a good job of making it pretty clear.
803-0550. Who's the number one? No, never mind. You don't have to call on that. Who the number one draft pick is in our fantasy league on Saturday. We're not going to ask that of you. That's asking too much. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. James Cook, other Bills issues. We're on it. The Four Nations face-off continues tonight. USA-Finland, 8 o'clock. Back after the break, this is WGR.
This is not just moving off Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. What the Jets are telling you is in a quarterback league, they have no succession plan, and they told Aaron, yeah, we're good here. This is not an indictment of Aaron, the quarterback. He was good. It's an indictment on Aaron the person. They don't want him in the building.
He wasn't that good, but okay, that's probably right.
Yeah.
Colin Coward.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with the. I don't know the good, average maybe. I don't know. Like I
rank him.
He'll go somewhere. If he goes somewhere this year, I'll say the same thing I said about him last year. Like he's 41, coming off an Achilles, and that doesn't mean you won't get flashes and maybe even entire games where you're like, oh, look at him, because that even happened this year. There were a couple of games where it looked like, oh, he's moving really well, and like this seems like.
New England on a Thursday night.
Right, but you just can't expect that to happen over the course of 17 games and throwing, 1,000 passes or whatever you're going to have to throw. It's not realistic.
The Jets are such a good sports talk team. They're really a dream. These last 2 years of the Jets, can we just have a minute to appreciate how amazing they've been, the Jets of the last 2 years?
Yep.
They had the thing this year where they were like their record was horrible, but they were like favored every week. Anyway, they were like the most times favored for a team that was 2-9 or something. All the nonsense. I mean, just the season is recent and you don't need it broken down. The off season, like he's in Egypt or whatever, and. Just like all of that. I mentioned a couple of days ago, I think, the Bills game here where they're losing 40-0. What a score. It's a tennis score. And it's, a safety and picks all over the place. Then they put Tyrod in, like, touchdown, touchdown. That's amazing.
Right.
The year before, where he goes down, I'm not, happy about an injury, but he goes down four plays into their season after all the hype. Bills, Jets, Monday Night Football, four plays, done. Zach Wilson time. And they never could, or at least did, anything about the position. Presumably, I think, because Rodgers, of his presence, like getting somebody good in there. Well, what do we need Rodgers for? So they, from the fourth play in week one, basically white flag.
Punted the season.
Punted the season.
Yeah.
Coach gets fired during this season because Rodgers wanted it. That's what it seemed. Nate Hackett being there out of Denver after the disaster that was. And, of course, Lazard and Randall Cobb. That was never not funny.
Right.
That was never going to be good for the Jets, and it was always funny. There's got to be more.
I do feel like... In all the years that we've been together, and I only perceived us being together, being on the radio by a couple of years, as do you, I don't think I've ever spent as much time as we did in the last 2 years, and especially this year, because he was healthy all year long, talking about the Jets. Like, they're a team in the division, so they're not, it's not like they're the Chargers or something. They've been a fascinating study. Oh. They have been a content factory, and
even today,
right? Yeah,
that statement,
the quote from the owner is just gold. Just tremendous. I loved how ready to go on that Wyszynski was with us an hour and a half ago when he said, like, he actually does embody all it meant to be a New York Jet.
It's unintentional comedy,
right?
When the owner says that, because he does, he's right. He was bad. He got hurt, all the everything. New York City, just all of it.
His ego run amok and all that. And yeah, from day one, he embodied all it meant to be a New York Jet, said the owner today. Or at least, in a statement with his name on it, whether he actually said those words or not.
Close enough.
I can't cop to.
It has to count it.
Right.
Count it.
It's amazing.
We were talking about Rodgers included earlier, which quarterbacks might go where. There's a lot of teams that don't have clear answers. You mentioned Trey Lance off air. And because we were talking about how Tyrod Taylor started with the Bills, and could there be somebody kind of buried, forgotten about, an unknown who a team's got, scouts that they liked in college, and we really don't have a clear answer here. The Jets would be quintessentially this team. Lance, I wonder if there's a team that would want to try that. I mean, he's been in Dallas, not even as the backup. Cooper Rush is the backup in Dallas after the Cowboys traded for him 2 years ago. And just, he's done nothing. He hasn't played enough in the NFL for it to like really be obvious that he can't do it, I think. So if somebody out there wanted to try that, I wouldn't scoff at it. He's got to be cheap.
He is on the list of free agents.
Okay, well, he's...
Yeah, because it's year four, and nobody picked up a fifth-year option on him. He was a first-round pick, remember? Imagine if Dallas had picked up a fifth-year option on him for, like, what would that be for a quarterback? Like, $25, $26 million or something? Oh, my God. Anyway, so he's done. He's a UFA.
You're right.
So somebody can go grab him. And, yeah, that's a guy to me that... The Tyrod comp works. I mean, outside of him being, again, the third pick in the draft, but his career to this point, and maybe he's played about as much as Tyrod Taylor played before he got sent here.
Well, it's only a small handful of starts.
Right. So he's definitely coming from the back row, but that's a guy that I think if I'm starting over, if I'm the Jets, for example, right, and I'm starting over. Maybe I like somebody in the draft, and I think I can do that. But it's probably not going to be a guy that's going to be ready to start right away, unless for some reason Ward or Sanders drops to wherever the Jets are picking. Which, yeah, I guess could happen. If people don't love those guys, they can not necessarily go in the top five automatically. But anyway,
that's right.
You know, maybe they got a plan for a guy day two or something, developmental guy. And then some version of a guy who's played games in the league, Garoppolo, I don't know, and Trey Lance. Okay, let's play the feud. We're going to go into training camp, and we're going to have a quarterback competition. You know, maybe Lance could win that job. I don't know. It's not crazy. It happened here with Tyrod Taylor. And Lance is certainly more pedigreed than Taylor was.
I wonder what Vegas would think. I'm very curious about them because of Chip Kelly. He seems like he would be somebody that would, you know, he'd be willing to try things if he had the kind of authority to decide this. Who's the guy they want? Garoppolo's been there. That's boring. You know what the limits are. Lance is somebody where, you know, these are Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, Bevel, I think, is there. Like, these are veteran coaches. They're not developing anything. They're not going to be there to, you know, it's not a 5-year plan, I bet, Vegas. So that could sort of work. It has to work to count, but that could kind of fit both categories, Lance, where there's some credibility. You wouldn't just only hire him. You'd have to have somebody else, like Brissett or somebody, the usual names. And, you know, potential.
Right.
I like that. I want to see the Raiders do something cool. And so I can think, so I can bet the over. That's what I want. I want the Raiders to do something cool that I like and will get into.
Well, but if you think that they're not into like any long-range developmental plan, I'm not sure Lance makes sense there.
No, I know. That's right. But I say like he fits both categories. He's been in the league 4 years, but he's only 24. A coach who's got an opinion of him, you know, might think, like, give me a turn with this guy. He's just played so little.
Yeah.
Even in college, he played so little. But he doesn't turn 25 until May. And what are my options? Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
Kirk Cousins? You know, what are my options here? Like, Darnold, Daniel Jones?
Darnold at the very high end of the market.
Darnold, and even he's debatable, but, like, yes, he would be the top, and only one team gets him. Then what? And what do these teams like the Jets do and the Giants? So I don't know. I'd like to see that happen. I'm glad you mentioned his name.
Well, me too.
Has he scrubbed all NFL references from his Instagram Live? I don't know. Your boy, Tez Johnson.
Yep, Oregon.
Oregon receiver. Do you know what he weighs?
Yeah, like 160.
I saw 156.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty slight, but worthy.
Right.
Follows Devontae Smith.
Right.
And never mind when it comes to
I think it might be the next, if it hasn't already happened, if those players don't already prove it. But I think, we heard it all last offseason. I don't think just from fans either. I think, scouting community, we're worried about Worthy's size because it's the NFL. But we just came up a couple weeks ago. I think that might be the next hill to crest and get over from, like, traditional old school football talk to how much does it matter if a guy's 180 or 160 playing receiver in the league nowadays? The way the rules are, right? Ronnie Lott is not decapitating you anymore. I mean, that can happen, but guys are looking to do that more and more, less and less frequently is how I mean to say that, because of the penalties, the penalties in the game to hurt the team, the fines, all that. You're just seeing less of it. Defenseless receiver and all that kind of stuff. And I just think it matters less maybe than it ever has. I'd say it doesn't matter. You'd rather have the bigger guy, but I don't know. I was not scared about Worthy's size last year, and I would not be scared about this guy's size either. I think the rules are designed to protect the skill players, and I think that's never been more true in the league than it is now, and that affords me, I think, a little more leeway on not being as nervous about a guy being small. To me, anybody can get hurt, of course, and the smaller guy is going to be at more risk, but like I said, I don't think it's that league anymore.
Devontae Smith, by the way, at a big Super Bowl, big catch anyway, listed as 170, 6 foot 170. He's done well in 4 years. The Slim Reaper.
Is that what they call him?
Devontae Smith.
Is that on his reference page, or is it you just know that?
I knew it. It is. It's one of four nicknames on his Pro Football Reference page, Devontae Smith. No, five. No self-respecting NFL player has fewer than five nicknames. Smitty.
Mm-hmm.
DVS.
All right.
Not to be confused with MVS.
Yep.
Rubber Band Man.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
And Skinny Batman. Who?
I want at some point to do... Well, what I really want is someone. It doesn't, if it would be you, that'd be ideal, I guess. Because I'm not going to do the work. I want to know where these are generated from.
I do too.
Like, how does this come about? Is this Wikipedia? Can I just go in there and put up anything I want? Is there a site manager?
No,
is there a gatekeeper?
Yes.
Okay.
You cannot just go edit a Pro Football Reference page.
Okay.
But I want to know this too. Sal pointing out how the Bills have people who track every NFL player social media account in the league. To see things like, Cook doing what he's doing. I doubt the Pro Football Reference people have that many right. people on staff. Might be closer to SpotTrack.
Right.
But somebody's in charge of the nicknames. And I think there's a pretty low bar to clear to get yours on there.
It seems that way from the evidence that has been presented over the years in this room.
What's his name? Merrill Reese, Eagles, longtime Eagles broadcaster. I know Slim Reaper because on the touchdown on Sunday, he calls him that.
Okay.
On the long bomb. And there's like there's a cool little 2 minute or so clip of that touchdown and
then
the players talking to Hurts.
That passes every test it needs to pass as far as I'm concerned. If the legendary play-by-play guy uses it, fans are definitely using it and probably the team too. I don't know, but yes.
You can buy a Slim Reaper t-shirt.
Okay, done. That is unassailably one of his nicknames.
That's official.
Skinny Batman? I don't know.
Skinny Batman.
If Merrill Reese said that, I think he should want it back. But that's just me. He's a legend, and I'm just
per player
over here wearing a Bills hat on YouTube and Twitch.
That's not nothing. One nickname per player, max. That's it. You don't get more than one. No, who needs more than one? If Allen wants to be the Don, we got to throw the rest of them out. You get one. That's the best one. I mean, you don't hear me saying things like Winter Soldier in out loud. You don't hear me saying that. I like the Don.
Yeah, I mean, it fits. Sure.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm done with the other ones.
I'm not even
sure. There's a general. Right. I'm done with the other one.
See, I don't think I even know any of these. I know, like, if you go to his pages, JA17, one of his
probably
nicknames? Like okay. I mean,
that's not even a nickname,
right?
It's shorter to say Josh Allen.
Yes,
the nickname can't be longer.
Is Allentown one of his nicknames?
I don't know. Does anybody call him that?
I've never heard anyone call him that, but it's a nickname
for Buffalo,
right?
Kind of because of
him and the part of the city. Yeah, right.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, back after this timeout on WGR. Help.
What do you need?
So I've been putting off getting a new phone for more than a year, living on this 99% high wire, deleting 10 pictures every a couple of days, just barely surviving. The case is starting to fall apart. Like, it's just torn. And
oh, yeah.
Now today, just this afternoon, it got to the point where the little tab that you click on to turn the phone on and off, or just turn the screen off.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the bathroom, I turn the screen off, put it in my pocket. Today, go to the bathroom, I can't do it. I can't turn the screen off.
Okay.
So where do I put the phone? Like, if I put it in my pocket, it might just start calling people. Just move a little bit, and I'm opening up apps, and and I don't know how to turn it off. Or I don't want to turn the phone off. I want to turn the screen off, right?
Right, sure.
Just, I do this habitually all the time. Like, the screen is usually off, and then if somebody sends me a text or something, it turns on.
Won't it just go off after a certain amount of time?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll have to sort of recalibrate my mind to just not be clicking it all the time.
Right.
So I think tomorrow. I think tomorrow's the day.
Time for the new phone. Yeah.
Yeah. This is it. The fact that it's 99%, I kind of enjoy that. I don't need all these pictures. I don't need all these apps. So, just start deleting them, and then I get another week out of it.
It's a game.
It's
a puzzle.
It's
fun. You love puzzles.
That's right.
It is a puzzle.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think maybe tomorrow. So if anybody has any advice, I think I'm due. I know I'm due. You know why I didn't get one already? They're really expensive.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't. I'm putting it off because where am I going to do this?
My wife just did this week before last. I look at the bank statements. I don't know that she never does, but it's something that I do regularly. Like, I just log in and see where we're at. And I'm waiting for, like, something. Like, that's not how it works. Like, with us, because we're the company we're with, like, the bill, automatic payment deducted was, like, $300 more than it usually is. Like, oh, there it is. How many more weeks and months of this do we have?
That's the new phone?
That's the new phone. It's like, I don't know how many times it'll be that. Eventually, it'll go back down to, the normal bill. But I have a feeling for a while here, it's going to be, double.
I told you earlier I had an idea. The show started when I asked you, do you have something sort of like waiting to get out? And you did. It was about Woody Johnson. I've got something, too, and I'm ready to go with it. You'll be interested in this, I think.
I sure hope so. I do feel somewhat of a professional obligation, if not a personal one, to be into it. So.
I think this will this one will resonate.
All right.
Back with that after sports here on WGR.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.